All right. Good morning, everyone. All right, welcome to Haven Church. If you're first time here, welcome, welcome. You know, I don't know if you talked to Gary and you walked in. Anybody talk to Gary out there? what you got, Jack?
What I got?
I don't got nothing.
Got a guitar.
He's got a guitar. He's
glad I don't have what I had last week. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man. All right, well, we got to wake up this morning. We were out till 1 o'clock in the morning last night at a concert, so it was pretty cool, though. But you know what? Nothing like being in a local church, though. It's just something about the worship here that's different than being in a venue like that. It was cool. I liked it, but this is home. Let's stand up. Oh, yeah. What did the guy say? Are you standing? I don't know. That's an inside joke.
I guess the main thing is we just want you to just relax and connect to God here. That's what we're here to do. Not many times during the week where we just get to stop. Just stop and let God talk to us. That's what we want you to do here. So let's just open with prayer today. Lord God, here we are. Sometimes life just seems so cyclical, and yet you are an extraordinary God. And let us not take you for granted. Let us just stop right now and just receive what you would have to give for us. And as we enter this new message series called Precarious, we ask that just your word just really teach us to step out into those dangerous areas. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now
There you go. If you're not ready to worship God now, something's wrong with you. Check the pulse of the person next to you. Let us know.
All right, Thomas, give me a little bit of that kick, man.
Come on, let's put those hands together. There we go. You got them for a reason. Come on, I see you. Check that pulse. If they're not clapping, they're dead. Come on, let's hear it louder. From everlasting, keep it up, to everlasting.
everlasting. You are God. You are God. You are God.
Who says you can't have a drum solo in church, right? There we go. Way to go, Thomas. Lord God, we thank you that you are everlasting and that no matter what happens in our lives, that you are there. You are immortal, eternal, invisible, and you love us. And that for that, we give you praise for who you are. And God, we love you so much. Be here today with us and move mightily in this room. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, at this time, our children are going to head out. Say hi to somebody around you. Did you break it? Yeah. You got to love it when a drumstick's broken. Awesome. There we go. That's worship when you're breaking drumsticks. Yeah. Did you guys break any drumsticks? Okay. All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to see everybody here today at Haven Community Church. We hope that you're having a good time so far. I know you're not sleeping, so that's good. But if you're joining us today for the first time, we're glad that you're here. Hopefully that you received a card as you came in, and you can fill that information. It gives us a chance to connect with you, but it also gives us the opportunity to hear what you thought about the service and to be part of our mailing list if you'd like to do that. And we're just glad that you're here. We say this all the time, but we never believe that you're here by mistake. We believe God opened the door and brought you here today. And so that's what we're really excited about. So you can read some of the other information. We're going to talk a little bit about the National Day of Prayer service toward the end of our announcement time today. But you can see some of the youth events. And for the first youth event, we want to go ahead and show a brief video, about a two-minute video, on the 30-hour famine. Melinda?
Around the world, nearly 800 million people do not have enough to eat. Every day, nearly 8,000 kids die from hunger-related causes. In sub-Saharan Africa, about 1 in 4 people are undernourished, meaning they are hungry or not getting enough of the right kinds of food. Here, 1 in 12 children will not survive to their 5th birthday. Hours, barely more than a day. In that short time, global hunger won't disappear. But if we answer God's call, if we take the first step, nothing will slow us down. Think about what you can accomplish in 30 hours. When you choose to inspire action in everyone around you, you become part of something bigger than yourself. We won't end global hunger overnight, but when you do the 30-hour famine, you are joining with thousands of young people around the world who are working for a hunger-free world. Now is the time to make a difference. Raise funds, save lives, feed your faith. A hunger-free world is possible. It begins with each one of us.
So my opening
information that we have there. And this week, Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th, Haven's Youth will be really going ahead and dealing with that. They're raising, you can see raising just $35 can help one child. Anything else they need to do?
We will be out here after service.
Okay. Okay. So if you want more information to connect to that, or youth want to be involved with that, you can go right out here for a 30-hour famine, and you can connect with some of that information. So we want to definitely do that. That's a great thing. Confirmation class. Also, youth are meeting on Tuesday nights for youth Bible study right here from 6:30 to 8:30. Confirmation class will begin May 1st, so that's coming up. And so Debbie will be leading that, and you can find the contact information there as well. The community kitchen right there, that clipboard, is going around. Today's the last day to sign up for that, and there's still some information. And this year, Haven will take a special offering for Compassion, and we'll talk about Compassion International. But for the clipboard, that's going around a little bit. What I'm going to ask right now, the Paris Foundation, our next time is May 15th, and Bonnie has sign-ups for that today as well. So there's a lot of different things. Make sure you look at what you're signing up for and connecting with, because a lot of different things. Now, we're going to one more brief video, and this is with Compassion International. Today is Compassion Sunday. Oh, wait, there.
A child is waiting.
A child is waiting.
There are children around the world waiting.
Children are waiting.
I live here with my family, my mom and dad. Our home is built over a very dirty river. And when the storms happen, our home floods with water and garbage. Even though I live in this place, I have been sponsored for 14 years by Arlie and Nancy. I call them Mom and Dad. Because of my sponsors, I had the opportunity to go to the Compassion program at the church in my neighborhood. When I was 9, my Compassion teacher shared Jesus with us, and that's when I accepted Christ. Even though I am poor, He has provided my church. He gave me sponsors who love me. God will never leave us. I want to share everything I have learned with kids who are like me, other children who need sponsors because they also experience poverty. I want them to feel the joy of having a sponsor, to get a letter that says, "I love you. You are special to me."
There are children around the world waiting. Waiting for a sponsor like you.
Like you.
Release a child from poverty in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. A child is waiting for you.
And good morning. Just a quick note, and we, you know, if anybody has any doubt that there are serious needs in the world, I mean, these last two videos certainly hit home. I think there's so much going on, and I wanted to be very clear to explain. Today is Compassion Sunday, and maybe some of you were here last year when we did Compassion Sunday. Compassion is about sponsoring children, and we're talking the World Vision thing that 30-hour famine is about feeding children, so there's lots of ways that you can help children today. Last year, we had packets of children that you could sponsor. This year, we haven't done that, but if you are interested, please, today is an opportunity. Carol, are you around? Carol's waving her hand. If you are interested in sponsoring a child, please see Carol. But you also can help in another way. At the end of the service, we'll have folks with baskets on the back, you know, as you go out the door. Please, you know, drop in whatever you've got. We're going to donate because you can also donate and help these children. Such a small amount of money helps them. So please take the time, think about a child today and help out in that way. Thank you.
All right, so we have several different things, as you can tell, but that just tells us there's a great need. And one of the things that that I believe, I've always believed that in as a church, one of the things that we do is give out of our churches. And one of the things that I think that we should do is, in fact, give locally and give in our country and as well as give around the world. And there's so much need. And I'm glad that our church does those things and is expanding that. We're not pulling back in. We're expanding those things because there's a great need. And many of us, when we have something break down, we get frustrated. But how many of us would be able to exist with the joy that she has just knowing the Lord, because somebody sponsored her for since she was 5 years old. It's made a difference in her lives and is going to make a difference in the kingdom. All right, so the prayer thing, we'll go ahead and have them come up right before the message today, as we've done the last couple weeks, to share something about our prayer service that I'm really excited about. But at this time, what I do is like to lift up some other prayer concerns, and if you're part of church online, you can do that online and go ahead and add that, or if you're here, you can add those prayer requests here. Robin Hildebrand has asked for prayers for Donna and Bill Wiggum and their family on the death of her father, and they had the service yesterday, and for Fran Fairweather, cataract surgery on Monday. Melissa has asked for prayers for her husband, John, who was just diagnosed with MS. They have to do some more tests, but we want to go ahead and lift him in prayers. Trudy has asked for prayers for a friend, Chris Keough, and for her, some allergies and some other things. Mike Stecker has asked for prayers for the, definitely as was in the news, for the Howard High School girl who was killed this past week. Rig has asked for prayers with Sarah, dealing with severe restless leg syndrome and praying for a healing touch from the Lord. And Jennifer's asked for prayers for Benjamin for reduced anxiety as he takes his finals this week, and we definitely want to keep him in your prayers, as well as everybody who is finishing their semester. And David Campbell asked for prayers for Joe Campbell for health as well. Yes. Yes, and Bill, my mother, will be going to Fox Chase this week for her regular checkup and everything. All right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today recognizing there are so many needs, and if we think that life is tough, all we have to do is just stop and take a look at things that are going on around the world, and we recognize that we all have needs at different degrees and different levels, but God, you're the answer to all those things. So as we come here today, I just ask that you minister to us in the way that you see fit, the way for what we need. If we need patience, you provide that to us. If we need immediate healing, you give that. For these prayers that we lift up, God, we aren't quite sure all the time exactly what direction to turn and where to go. For some of us, we're looking at a future that doesn't look very clear, and we're concerned. For others, we're looking at a past, and we realize that we're coming up on dates and times of loved ones that we miss so much, and it seems like the time that they have been gone is so short, but then we look back and say, gosh, it's been that long. And many of us are dealing with our own health issues at this moment, our own struggles. God, you are the answer to all things. And so, just God, love us, number one. Put your arms around us and just whisper to us those words that we need to hear. Speak to us through billboards. Speak to us through messages. Speak to us through others. But no matter what it may be, God, just help draw us closer to you and walk this walk with you more intimately. And God, as we saw both of those video clips, we're jolted and reminded that there are still many of the least of these in this world. Those which you said to do unto the least of these, when you do to them, you also do to me. So God, I thank you for this church that has been faithful and continues to be faithful. And to say, I want to follow the word of God, and I want to serve and I want to give. And part of that comes through our ongoing ministries, and some comes through special offerings and ministries, but all that comes out of the blessings that you've given to us, Father,
the blessings that we are so richly blessed to be born in a country that, yes, has its issues and problems, but we are free to come here and worship you and say we believe in we're a child of the one true King, and his name is Jesus. And so, God, as you receive your tithe and our offerings, whether here, whether we give right now online, wherever we may be giving at this moment, may you receive that and just multiply it to meet many of these needs that we've seen today and so many more. And God, as you move our hearts in these areas, maybe somebody here, there's a child that's been praying around the world today saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And here today, somebody's going to say, I'm going to take that step of faith and I'm going to go ahead and become a sponsor for Compassion International. Others may be here and say, I want to really get involved in eradicating just a portion of famine, and I'm going to give to support that. God, somebody's lives around the world are going to be changed. We may never meet them until we get to heaven. But I thank you right now for this church and your Holy Spirit moving in the hearts of someone right now to go ahead and serve you. We love you, God. You supply all our needs, and now use us in your way. In Christ's mighty name, amen.
America's founding fathers fought and sacrificed for our right to elect our nation's leaders. More than a million U.S. soldiers have given their very lives defending that right. But in the 2012 presidential election, over 93 million eligible citizens chose not to vote. In this coming election, important moral issues are at stake. The family, life, freedom. What kind of world will we leave the next generation? You have been given the privilege, the power, the responsibility to vote. Pray for Election Day and vote your values.
Good morning. This church is absolutely amazing. I have not been in a church in my whole life like this church. And I thank God for Haven and the people here and how they have everything that I've touched or heard about with the Compassion International, the Paris Foundation, whatever it is, people step up and volunteer and fill the ranks of what is needed. And it's been true with the National Day of Prayer. Every person that we've approached to either speak or to pray for an area that we're going to pray about on that Thursday has said yes, and I'm amazed. So I'm so thankful. I'm a new member of this church. My wife and I have only been members since last fall, but what a blessing to be here with all of you and worship the Lord like we've done this morning. I have one more need. I have one opening, or we have one opening for somebody to pray for the federal, the state, and the local government. We're going to lump them together and pray. We have a speaker. We have Alan McCarthy coming to speak to the local and state issues. And we have Andy Harris is going to send a letter to us about the federal level. But we need somebody to pray for those areas, just one person. If you'd like to pray for that area, just see me after the service, and we will we'll work you into the schedule. So let's remember Thursday, May the 5th at 6 o'clock right here. We have an opportunity to pray to our Father in heaven, asking him to bless our church, our family, our community, our nation. And they certainly, every one of these areas needs our prayers. Now, would you please just join me in the prayer this morning? Rise up, join hands with somebody next to you, cross the aisle, and we will pray the prayer on the screen. Let me read the scripture. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Matthew 12:21, and the prayer. Lord, hear our prayers for our nation. Please help us to maintain our focus on you as we live our lives each day. We look to you for our safety and for peace on our hearts as we face an unknown future. May we always remember that you love us and are in control of the future. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. This morning our scripture reading is from Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Heavenly Father, as hard as this is for me, I am asking you to search me. Search me, God, and know my heart. God, test my motives. Reveal to me my anxious thoughts. Show me anything in me that offends you. God, I want to see in me what you see in me, so I can become more like Jesus. God, I ask you to search me.
All right, good morning again. Okay, today we are starting a new series. We finished up our last series, I Am Jesus, and today we are going to start a new series called Precarious. Precarious. Everybody say that with me. Precarious. Yes, precarious. Isn't that rather creative? That was my creative side. So, you like it? No, thanks, Bob. All right. So, but it's going to be a three-week series, so it's like a smaller series than what we've done in the recent past. And as we look at this, primarily point is I'm excited about this because I believe that if we take these seriously, because a lot of times we're really good about in the church, we're really good about having the ability to have a lot of access to a lot of Jesus stuff. We can jump on the internet, Jesus stuff. We can pull out our phones, Jesus stuff. We can go ahead and be part of any kind of Bible study that you might want to become and get a lot of what? Jesus stuff. There we go. And yet, I think sometimes when we are blessed so much to have so much, that a lot of times we become kind of numb to it. And but I believe if we really take these next 3 weeks seriously, that it has the ability to really be a new launch point and a transitional point for our lives, particularly in our prayer life. And the last time we really talked about prayer as a church was almost a year ago, believe it or not, at the end of the summer when we talked about Sun Stand Still prayers. And many of you might remember and participated in that. But today, I'm going to warn you that these are not easy prayers. They're not safe prayers. They're what we're going to call what? Precarious prayers. Because I want you to do what? Use precaution here. And precaution in a good way, because it's precarious. We may end up in some possible dangerous areas if you really go ahead and pray this, and it's good dangerous areas that we have. In the United States, I think we are very good at safe prayers. For instance, what are some things that we pray for? We pray for God bless us, right? Bless us, God. That's safe. We pray, God help us. Safe. We pray, God protect us as we travel. Safe, right? That's kind of safe. It's not requiring much, just it's kind of general, protect us, help us, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's just around us. We kind of feel like, I don't know, when we say that, we kind of feel like God goes, ooh, and puts a nice little bubble around us. And we're like, yeah, right? And that now we're safe. Now we can look at the devil and go, ooh, but we're safe under here. Yay, it's all good. It's safe. But I believe prayer is to be more than that. And these prayers that I'm going to share over the next 3 weeks are not safe. And when I want you to pray them, they're going to cause you to go out of your comfort zone a little bit. And I want to tell you about next week. Next week is a prayer that many of us don't like to pray when we're going to ask God to break us. God to break us. And if you really want a precarious prayer, ask God to break you. How many of you have ever been broken in your life? I mean, just felt broken. Is that a fun place to be? No, broken in spirit, broken in mind, broken in heart, and many different areas. But what's really cool, when we ask God to break us, on the other side of that brokenness is an intimacy with God that you can only experience by going through those broken areas. And so that's one of the areas that we're going to talk about. In week 3, we're going to pray this one, which everybody loves. We're going to say, Lord, send me. And that's open-ended, because when we say send me, we don't know where he's sending us. And, you know, my prayer was when I felt a call to ministry was, God, send me to a church, not to a missionary field, because I like stuff. Please don't do that. You know, please, God. I put my conditions in. That wasn't an open-ended prayer. It was, but now it's, God, send me. And we're just going to look about where, and right now, how many of you are thought right in your mind exactly where you would not want God to send you? That's usually what we do when we pray that prayer. And sometimes God will send you exactly there. So no more saying, God, I'm going to do what I want for you, and the other stuff, find somebody else. We are going to say, God, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you're calling me to do, send me and have me do it. All right, so today we're ready, and today is another me. It comes from Psalm 139, just 2 verses, and David prayed this after being attacked by his enemies and God's enemies, and they were attacking him now, accusing him of having the wrong motives. Has anybody in your life ever attacked you and accused you of having the wrong motives or doing the wrong things? Anyone?
Anyone breathing here today? Because most people, I find even some of the ones that you try to do the best things for and be there the most, tend to at times attack you the greatest. And you got that right? I heard somebody who's been hanging around the same people with me. But what you find out is, today we're going to talk about that. And instead of David going on the defensive, as we usually do, now wait a second, how many have done that before? David does something very different. He doesn't care about what they say. He stops and he says a very precarious prayer by saying, God, search me. God, search me. And so we're going to put this up here. So this comes from Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And this is our prayer for the week. So if you have your bulletin, take it with you. It's on the website. But I also want to make sure you have this. You can see Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way eternal. That is a everlasting. That is a precarious prayer. So guess what I want you to do? I want you to join with me right now as we pray this precarious prayer. You have it right here. You have it in your bulletin. Ready? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. That is a precarious prayer, and I'm going to challenge you to pray that every day, first off, this week, all of us. This is a precarious prayer. How many of you have ever searched for something? How many of you have ever, lost keys? Next to keys, and it's becoming very close to number one now, is the remote. Now, some of you are about the age I am or older when you, as a child, were the remote for your parents. And you could go from 2 to 13 in one turn. Remember that? How many had to do that before in your life? And you got there. Okay, there we go. And you may have had some channels like 17 or 45, or some of you, I'm going to really check to see how old you are, channel 48 out of Philadelphia. There we go. That was where Dennis the Menace was. Okay? And 57, you had some of these channels that were UHF, but most of the time you just kind of those couple channels. And we were in a good place because we got some Baltimore stations, we got some Philadelphia stations, if you were on the right level with that big antenna, or you had lots of tinfoil behind your roof. Okay, I'm taking you back now. Some of the young people are like, tinfoil, what? Around who? How? Two channels? How did you survive? Okay, I have that on my iPod now. And so we had that challenge. But nowadays, I need three remotes to get the TV to where I want it to be. And if one of those is missing, there is this anger that boils in me from the bottom of my feet. I will tear cushions off the couch. I will turn over a whole room to look for one remote. Anybody ever been there? Instead of just going and turning the channel. Because now it's too complicated. Because it's either the box or it's the TV. And if you turn the TV, you don't get that. And then you start to go, kids, where's the remote? Get down here. Everybody's searching. And it takes a while to search and find things. Sometimes there's that little part in the back of the couch where it just tucks up underneath. Or it slid down underneath, and then, God forbid, if you move the couch and you say, oh my gosh, if we ever run out of food, I found out where we can eat some more, right? Because your kids are just slobby, right? So then the worst is if you find stuff and then you don't find a remote, then you're even more furious. But when we search for stuff, what I realize is when I'm searching for stuff that I need and want, and I can't find it, I get very frustrated. The other thing that I find out that I'm very frustrated when God is searching for stuff in me and I open my life and say, God, search me, and then he finds things about me that I've kind of wanted to keep down in the couch cushions of my life and want to be done with. Has anybody ever been there before? So what I want to do today is take these two verses of our precarious prayer. And I want to go ahead and unpack four things in them when we ask God to search us. Does that sound good to you? All right. So the first thing we're going to ask is easy. Search my heart. That's the first thing we're going to ask. Search my heart.
Psalm 139:23a, the first section of that, David says to God after he's being accused, he says, "Search my heart. God, search my heart and know, search me, God, and know my heart." For some of us, we may look at this and say, okay, why would we ask God to search our heart? He made us. He knows our hearts. He understands us. I mean, he should. He knows everything. But ultimately, why would he do that? Because I got a good heart anyway. I'm a good person. I care about people. And, you know, when we actually look at that, guess what? We don't. The Bible's very clear that we do not have, that apart from Christ, we do not have a good heart. An example is a common saying like, oh, she's got such a kind heart. That's such a kind-hearted person. That person is just a good-hearted person. Anybody ever heard that said about somebody or yourself? When that is just basically wrong. And the other week, remember, I shared with you that you were liars, adulterers, et cetera, et cetera. Remember that? Well, I want to reiterate that today by saying we're all liars. Anybody ever told a lie in your life? Okay? And so if you're not, you're lying right now. So welcome to the rest of us. So we lie. We lie. And that's a big thing that we do. So that tells us, why do we lie? Because we really don't want something in our heart to go right way. Some of us say we lie for the right reasons, but we still lie. And when I look at this, I did want to share with you, as I was looking at some of the most common lies that we have, I came down to what I believe is the most common lie. And I think the biggest lie that we give is to ourselves. We're good at lying to ourselves, aren't we? There's several things that we lie to ourselves, and that tells us that our heart is deceitful, that we love to deceive ourselves. And the rest of that scripture says, like, we'll look here in Jeremiah chapter 17. Look at what this says. This is scriptural. It says, the human heart is what? The most deceitful of all things. It is desperately wicked. So you wonder why people are the way they are? Because nobody's good, not one of us. That the heart is the most deceitful, most wicked thing that we have. And it continues on and says it's desperately wicked. And we don't really know how bad our hearts are. Like, at some times in life, something happens and comes from deep within, and it pops into your head, and you if you stop and you go, I actually thought that? You know what I mean? Like, something about someone, and you just look at them, and this thing goes, and you go, oh my gosh, I thought that? Oh, that's horrible. Now, how would you like for some of those things? Like, sometimes if you didn't do the right thing, like you were supposed to go ahead and pick up something or mail something, or do something for your spouse, and you just completely didn't do it, and then they kind of get after you a little bit. Anybody ever had that occasion? How many of you have gotten after somebody for doing that? Ladies, you can raise your hand, okay? So when that happens, when you feel like you're in a corner, there's this evil thing that pops up in your head, both ways, am I right? And how would you like for every thought that you have about someone to audibly come out? If we had a day where every thought we thought about someone would come out, boy, you would be at World War III really quickly, wouldn't we? People would be after each other. Why? Because we've got this nastiness that exists here, and I would have marriage counseling out the wazoo, I guarantee you, if every thought that we thought was there. We love lying to ourselves more than anyone, though. Like, for instance, we'll say, well, I don't need to have that much food as we pile on the next guy. It's just a little. I'll just have a little taste of everything. Boom, boom. Right? Have anybody ever done that before? Okay, we have that. Or we say, I'm not full of pride. I'm definitely not full of pride. I just can't help how awesome I am. You may have those. Or we may, the other one that I talked about a couple weeks ago. I don't lust. I just appreciate God's awesome creation, right? We do that as well. I'm not materialistic. I just need nice things. God wants me to look well, right? Or the one I really, really love is I don't gossip. I just share things that people need to pray for the people who are doing the bad things about.
Oh, no, no, we're not gossiping. Let me tell you, for prayer, did you hear what? Okay, that's not gossip. We tack it on. That's deceit. We lie to ourselves. All the time, we lie to ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things, is what the scripture tells us. And we need a precarious prayer to go before God and say, search me, God, show me what's in there. Search my heart and bring that stuff out. And that's not fun when we do a deep search from God. I have met several people in my life as well who have said, who have all kinds of issues in life, all kinds of problems, and they come to God and they come to church to get a quick fix. We live in a drive-through society where people want everything. We want everything our way. We want it quick. We want it fixed. If it's taking time, if it takes 5 minutes, we're upset, we're frustrated, we want it quick. And we've also entered into a point in the life of the church where we also want our God that way. We want our God that when we have an issue, we want to drive through and, God, you got to fix this and fix this now. God, I've been doing this. I've been sitting here. I've been in church every day. I've heard people say, you know, it got to the point that all I'm doing is church. That all I'm doing is church. And all I'm doing is spending time with Christian people. And all the time I do that. And meanwhile, I still feel this void. Well, you know what? For many of those people, it took 40, 50 years to get in that mess. God ain't going to just fix it overnight because you got a lot to unpack. And a lot of that stuff's hidden down in the couch that we got to get down to, that God has to get to, because we've hardened our hearts. And what I found that's funny is we lie to ourselves and we believe that serving God and being part of the family of God is the problem. And some people come in when they don't get their order done in the quickest way and the way they want it, they're ready to bolt out the door and throw God out and say, that was the problem. God is never the problem. That's the biggest lie to ourselves. The biggest problem is we look in the mirror and we can find out who the problem is. Because there's a lot of us that is just wrong. This deceitfulness comes up and it wants to lie to us. I remember when I was in youth group, and back then we had nice catchy names like UMYF. How many remember that? United Methodist Youth Fellowship, that when I was part of that. How many was part of it? Or if you're older than that, the MYF, as you used to call it, before the U. And so it was a real cool name. Not, but anyway, we did that. But we did some really cool things and had some great youth events. And you know, by being the preacher's kid, I had to at least appear like I was good and cared. You know what I mean? You had to be there, and you had to, like, anytime anything happened, my mom made me be in choir, even when I had football. And I would wear my football uniform underneath my choir robe because they played on Sundays, and somebody would go pick me up in the back of a pickup truck, remember those days, and take me to the football game, wherever it would be. So you've never seen anything more good-looking than me in a football uniform underneath a choir robe. I'm telling you, that's hot. But anyway, here I am. So, you know, and then I was involved in youth, and we did it. But, you know, I remember they had these special events a lot of times in the summer, and we went down to Sandy Cove. And they would have speakers, and they would have people, and we'd just connect down at Sandy Cove. We'd do weird things, like, which were fun, where we'd have a rain gutter that they had filled with ice cream, and everybody would eat out of it. And now today, people with germs be like, really? You know, yuck. You know, now but we were just face down in that. We would do all kinds of things. And believe me, it was also really cool, like when you were going to the skating events and you were like in a van and there was some good-looking girl there. I mean, some of the first kisses and things were done on youth group. Hallelujah. Those kind of things. You learned a lot about life in youth group is what I'm telling you. But what I realized at this point, we were down at this talk one night. We were in one of the screened-in areas up by what used to be the higher pool up top. As we were headed down, I don't remember fully anything, but I remember the message was really about God search me. It had to do with God searching me, and I didn't recall this until this week when I began to really pray this prayer every day. And as I was looking at this message and this thing, I don't even remember who was talking, but one of the things was they wanted us to go out and to write something down, and they had a campfire, and just to go out, and when you went out, just go somewhere and let God speak to you. And it was like one of the first times, you know, I had these great things where I accepted Christ at age 5 and stuff. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of a mess along the way, a lot of rocky road. Anybody with me here? And so as we're going through this, I remember it was like one of those first times in my life where I kind of felt like here I was in church, wearing the choir robe, doing that stuff, but I felt like there was a large part of me that was faking this. Does that relate to anybody? That, you know, I mean, you're raised from birth and put in the church. Sometimes, I got to tell you, sometimes that is not a gift in following Christ because you get crass to it and you've seen it all. And by being a in the pastor's family, you know how evil some people who speak out in the name of Jesus' hearts are. Right, Carl? You're a pastor's son. You know that. He's laughing too. So you understand those things. And you're messing with this. But because you want to look good and because you want your dad and everybody else to be good, and they were real and genuine, and Joe and I saw stuff that we didn't care to see. We just wanted to go watch. We wanted to just one Sunday watch Johnny Quest. But I had to be over at Sunday school. The only time we got to watch Johnny Quest was when we went to our grandmother's. How many got to watch Johnny Quest? I hate you. Okay, so we couldn't watch it. And so there was these things that we had to do. But I remember at the Sandy Cove moment that it was the first time that I really felt God searching into me. And there's an intimacy, and there was also a guilt in that, hey, there's a part of you that's not really connected to me that's faking this. And that's an eye-opener for us. Because when we pray, God, search me, he begins to dig in. And I got to tell you, there's times that in doing the work of the Lord, that there's been times that you're going through the motions and you're not feeling connected to God. And if you pray, God, search me, he'll root it out. And a lot of times you don't want to pray that. It's a dangerous, precarious prayer that we need to have. Last week, I don't know if many of you knew, it was my birthday, but I thought it was my death day. I was so sick. And I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, very, very sick. It's by the grace of God and medication that I made it through that whole service. And sometimes I just felt, God, I just need to be sick today. And I don't feel like connecting to you. I don't feel like worshiping you. I don't feel like any of that. I just feel like throwing up somewhere. But then, you know, it was through the point of worship when we started to sing that God actually just kind of like gave me a break and really said, Jack, I'm gonna let you get through this. I don't know if you saw me. But afterwards, I went and sat right there and didn't move till everybody left. And then I went and got my car, went home. I don't know how I got my clothes off and got in bed and went to sleep. And it was miserable. Anybody have that stomach bug? It's awful. But you know what it's about? It's because Jesus needed to root. He started to root out some things in me, not only in my stomach, but in other areas of me, that he needed to work on me. So that's number one. The first thing that he has to do, the first precarious prayer is this. Is that I need you to search my heart. But sadly, many times we lack the motivation to ask God to do that. Number two, reveal my fears. Reveal my fears. In Psalm 139, verse 23, he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. How many have ever been anxious? What makes you anxious? What makes you worrisome? Well, let me change it this way. What makes you afraid? Now, I'm not talking like, boo, boogeyman and afraid, like that kind of stuff. Not like spiders. But what is it that makes you internally afraid? What makes it internally afraid? Like, for instance, some of you may have an internal fear of losing your job. What happens if I lose my job? What? Some of you may have an internal fear of not getting married at your age, that you're at an age and you thought you would be married by now. Some are the opposite, you're afraid of being stuck in a marriage that you're in and it's not getting any better. Others are afraid of the future and the unknown. I don't know what tomorrow's going to be. Some of you are afraid for your children because they're in a transitional place. Some of you are afraid of you and your children because you're both in a transitional space. Some of you are afraid of failing. Some people are afraid of succeeding. Some are afraid of loss. What if I lose somebody? What will happen to my life? Or what if I lost something that's so valuable? I say, right now you may say, what's this matter? What's this matter? God, show me my anxious thoughts. Because I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. Let me say that again, because you guys should have gone, oh, okay, you ready? Here, we're going to try this again. What we fear the most is where we trust God the least. There you go, that's a little bit better. All right, that's deep. Really embrace that. Because if I'm scared to death my marriage is not going to work, I'm not trusting God in my marriage. If
I'm afraid that I'm not going to pay the bills. I'm not saying just kick back and be like, okay, God, pay the bills. I'm saying that you're doing everything that you can, but you're still afraid that I'm not trusting God to be Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If I'm afraid that my kids are not safe, then I'm not trusting my God to keep them safe, and that means my nice little safe prayer of, hey, keep us safe, isn't working in the first place. What you fear most internally is where you trust God the least. It says, God, reveal my fears. Test me and show me where my anxious thoughts are. And I got to tell you, here we go. I'm being honest this week, and I'm going to just share some things. So after kind of working through some of these things and turning 45, those kind of big numbers for me, just kind of like those main numbers, kind of just get me thinking about life and other kinds of things. And we have several of those this year. We have 20 years of marriage. We have me turning 45. We have a son who's graduating and going to college. We have 20 years of ministry. All those kind of like big things where you stop back and go, oh my gosh, okay, let's just take a step back. And as I was preparing this message, when I was really getting narrowing down which message series I was going to do, and I started with this, I started to pray this precarious prayer. Search me, God, know my heart, and reveal my anxious thoughts. And God showed me some things about Jack, which I know, but I've kept buried in the couch next to the remote. And one of the things that he shared is one of the things that I fear the most, that I'm not really proud of, is I am afraid of failure. In my life, I've been conditioned to be afraid of failing. I've been conditioned, and sometimes I think I succeed because I'm so afraid of failing. And I don't want that to be there. I don't want to be recognized as a failure. And then I recognize that, God's like, let's dig a little bit deeper. You're praying on Wednesday, Jack, search me and know me and dig around in there. And when God starts to dig around a little bit more, I found out that some of that fear of failure comes from actually what I'm fearful of is letting other people down. That much of my life has been shaped because I didn't want to let other people down in my life. Whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be parishioners, whether it be other types of people. And then when I got down about Thursday or Friday and God's really digging some more, I found out that ultimately where a lot of this comes from is I have a massive fear of being inadequate. Inadequate in many areas of my life. Now, I may be completely off to somebody here, but God may be digging in you right now. That inadequate, that about not being enough, about not being good enough, not being wise enough to be able to answer everybody's question and their hurt and their pain, not being present enough to be there for not only my family, but also for, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of guilt that I dealt with digging from this, feeling like, because, you know, when God starts digging, Satan's right there to nail you when they come out. And he's tapping on my shoulder and saying, hey, your son's graduating from high school. Remember all that time that you could have spent with him and you didn't? Right? That's that guilt that starts to come in. And then you start to have not being enough for what anybody needs. There's a part of me that feels that by being a pastor and loving people, that I have to be absolutely everything for something someone needs. And guess what? Only Jesus can be that. And so for me, there's been people that when they're broken, that we're going to talk about next week, I feel like I got to help put them back together. Or else I'm inadequate as a person, but ultimately as a brother in Christ. And that is a warped thing to deal with. And it's a real issue because in my role as a pastor, in my role as a fellow Christian, I cannot be driven by those fears. I have to be led by faith, because then what is really cool, when God starts to dig to the bottom of those things and get those out, he starts to say things like this. His word, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he says, Jack, you got to trust me, not in your own nature. We need to, you know, because that's hard, because there's things as a church that we need to do that I know there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee for financing. There's no guarantee that people are going to be there. There's no guarantee that it's going to make an impact. But it's impossible to please God without faith. At times, if I'm honest, and I think if you're honest as well, our fears keep us from being obedient to God.
And I really believe that what God is telling me, and maybe somebody else here, is that we have to love pleasing Him and being obedient to Him more than any other kind of fear of failing or any kind of fear that we have in our lives. God starts to share more. God, test me, know my anxious thoughts, know my fears. And scriptures come to mind that perfect love casts out what? All fear. That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I realize that in those moments, that when we pray these precarious prayers, get ready to get beat up for a while because Satan's right there to beat you up. But the good thing is, if you stay in the Word of God, it's going to come to the forefront and He's going to do something awesome in your life. God will reveal these things to you about yourself that you may not have been willing to acknowledge. Because often we lie to ourselves and it keeps us covered up. Number three, uncover my sins. This is where it gets a little bit more difficult. Now we're getting down to where the cushions are off the couch. Now we're starting to move it. Psalm 139, the beginning of verse 24 says, God, see if there is any offensive way in me. How many like that verse? Nope. Is there anything about my life that is offensive? God, is there anything about my life that is inconsistent with you? Show me anything that I'm doing that doesn't please you. You know, so what I found so many times, it's so difficult to see my own faults and my own mistakes. But it's so easy to see those in other people. The mirror is the most difficult thing to find where we are. Our hearts are deceptive above all things. And we lie to ourselves. When we pray, search me, search my heart, God, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, it can totally be a game changer. By giving God permission, not only to point out those things in your life that need to be rooted out, but also those areas that are offensive to Him. And so there's three questions I want to give to you to uncover your sins. Because, you know, what I find out is, in my life, I spend a lot of effort. I am like a covert operative for my own sins. You know, you got to work hard to cover that stuff up. And here's what we have. So here's what I want you to ask your questions when it comes to this, to see if there's any offensive way in me. What are others trying to tell me? If three or four people who love you say, you know, Jack, I think you may be having a problem or an issue with this. Jack, I'm seeing this. Jack, and they got to be people that you love or else you're going to shut them out, and people that care about you that you have a relationship. If you've consistently got people sharing something with you, pay attention to it. Doesn't often mean they're right, but it means you've got to pay attention to this. Here's the big one. What have I been rationalizing in my head for some time? One of our main coping mechanisms to deal with our stuff is to rationalize. We're so good at rationalizing all kinds of things. We say all kinds of things like to rationalize things. This is how I cope. It's nobody's business. Oh, are you perfect? This kind of thing. You're not perfect. This is the way I'm made. I got this together. This is how I am. Those are all ways in which we rationalize. And the last thing is, where am I most defensive? Where somebody says something to you and say, oh, no, we're not going there. Talk to the hand. Ears aren't listening. We're just not talking about that. You can talk about this. Nope. I'm going to walk out. We have that. Don't you judge me. No. We had a good talk about this in Disciple the other night, didn't we? Do not judge lest you be judged. Don't judge. We're not supposed to judge. No, don't you judge me. I see how you're looking at me, Jenny. Don't you judge me. Don't you dare judge me. No, you neither. Don't you do it. I'll pull it out of the Bible. Don't judge. You know what? When we're saying that verse, we're also rationalizing and using it for our defense because it says, do not judge lest you be judged, because by the measure you judge someone is how you will be measured. There's some things in my life that I will be glad to put a measure up to somebody about. There's some people that are really awesome people that things I struggle in. Go ahead, pull out your tailor's ruler and measure me so that God can change something in my life. We're supposed to be held accountable in life as well. There are so many times in my life that I have spent effort ignoring people who love me, rationalizing what's going on in my life and saying that's just the way I am, that's who I'm supposed to be. And there's other times where I've become very defensive when somebody says something. I shared the other night in Disciple, a funeral service that I had. I went and visited this elderly lady. She was sick, and I was also in school at the time. I saw her once or twice. I saw her nephew, who said she was sick and in the hospital. I went home that day, and she had died. Now, keep in mind, the last time I went and saw her, she was there with her daughter-in-law. Her daughter-in-law was saying, there's nothing wrong with her. She's just dumb. She's just this. She was very rude. And I'm like, okay. And then I ended up waiting to hear from the funeral director. That was on a Sunday, and I decided to call on Monday morning. First thing on Monday morning I did, I picked up the phone, I called, and I said, Miss So-and-so, this is Reverend Jack Cohen. I'm calling about so-and-so, so sorry to hear of your loss. And she went, huh. Now, as I explained to Disciple Bible Study, there is nothing in my life that has ever been good after somebody says, huh. So here you go, huh. I said, excuse me? You're not very good at your job, are you? I said, excuse me? You're not very good at your job, with you. Now, I got to tell you, you guys know what I just shared that I dug up, that God dug up on me. I have a fear of failure. I have a fear of being inadequate. This is from way, way back and still is prevalent as a driving force. And now this woman is pointing out where I'm guilty already. And I said, excuse me, you're not very good. You didn't see. You didn't blah, blah, blah. This is the woman who was yelling at the person, telling her nothing was wrong with her and that she was healthy. And now the woman's dead. Everybody following the story with me? Aren't you feeling sorry for me? Anybody feeling sorry for me? Okay, good. I saw one hand. Thank you. All right. So in that manner, she says, you're not. I said, you're not very good at your job. So about the third time she said that, I said, then why do you want me to do the service? What am I doing? Defensive Jack. Why do you want me to do this? She goes, that's a good question. Click. I said, you. And I said some very unholy things at that moment. I will tell you. This is a confession moment. And when I said that, I'm like, what is her problem? What is her problem? So then I started doing like what we do when we get defensive. We start gathering our forces. So I called the matriarch lady of the church. She was super nice. And I was like, hey, Catherine, you got to hear this. Blah, 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 blah. So I had her here. Catherine Gold's like, oh, I can't believe she said that. I said, yeah, I'm nice, aren't I, Catherine? Yeah, I love you, Jack. So we got these things up like this. So I'm drawing lines now. You with me? We're drawing battle lines. Here we go. And then I called a friend of mine who was a mentor pastor of mine, Reverend Jim Jones from Rising Sun. And I told Jim, listen to what this woman said. And I started to go through the story. And remember, I see that one hand. Some of you felt sorry for me. I'm a young pastor. I'm working on this. And so here I go. And I say, she told this other lady, Catherine Gold, that I lost it. And you know what Jim said to me? You did. I said, excuse me? I said, Jim, she said I lost it. He said, Jack, you did. It wasn't about you. It's never about you. It was about her. It was about that she felt guilty because she treated her mother-in-law like crap, and you were the person in the way at the time. The reason why you're mad is because of your own guilt. It's not about you. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I hung up the phone on him, too. No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't do that, Jim. I love Jim. It's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener when we see that. What was I doing? There's stuff in my life I needed to be defensive and cover up, and we spend so much time doing that rather than doing what number four of this precarious prayer says. At the end of this prayer, after David said all this stuff, he says, lead me. The 24th verse, God, see if there's any offensive way in me. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to get out of our need to please others and get onto our need to have God lead us everlasting. As we close here today, this message, and our worship team comes forward, when you have the courage to pray precarious prayers, this one of search me, God, you have permission to look deep into the depths of my heart. You can rip over cushions. You can move the couches out of the way to get to those areas. I'm not so I can point a finger, but God, so that you can do something amazing in me. You know, in the early times when we become Christians, God deals with the big stuff of sinner, separated by sin, who comes in contact with the risen Christ, who calls him Savior and Lord. And when we have that, we have salvation. We deal with those big things. But the more I go through my Christian walk, the more I begin to see more and more. It's those little things that I'm having issues with in my life. But you know what? Those little things are really big things because they're keeping me from the fullness of what God wants for my life. It's the little things that are the big things. So when we pray, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your power. Jesus, I need your grace. Jesus, I need your presence. Jesus, I need your freedom. I need my identity to be complete in you. Help me to begin to live for an audience of one, to focus on you, not on the other stuff in my life, but for you and you alone. So what I want you to do, I want you to stand where you are right now. And as we close today, I want to close and go to the worship song. I want to close with us joining together in this prayer that I want you to pray all week from Psalm 139. It's right up here on the screen. And I want us to join together in saying this prayer. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. As we remain praying, Father, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do an amazing work in us. Search us, God. Search me. And I trust you that whatever is in there, that you will change. And as we're praying with no one looking around, I'm just going to ask, whether even if we're watching a church online today, or wherever we may be, with eyes closed and heads bowed in this room, even if you're sitting at work and you're watching this today, I want you to just do this as a sign of a precarious prayer, that you're willing to commit every day this week, that the first thing in the morning you're going to get up and you're not going to check out Facebook or Instagram. You're not going to check out your email. You're not going to check out your text. But the first thing that you're going to do is go ahead and pray this prayer. God, search me and know my heart. Test me. All those things. God, search me. Search me and do this. If you say, okay, Jack, all right, I'll test you on, I'll test God on this, I'll do this, and I'm going to try this precarious prayer this week. I'm not going to be happy maybe some of those days, but I'm going to do it every day as soon as I get up. If you're willing to do that, I mean, really, I don't want to coerce anyone, but I want you to just really connect to God in a way. This is precarious. This is dangerous. If you really feel that way, go ahead and just raise your hand and say, I'm willing to pray this prayer. All right, that's awesome. That's awesome. Pray that prayer every day. I thank you for them, God. Father, I ask over the next few days that those who that may never have a morning time with you, that this may be the beginning portion of that, that as they are praying precariously, that they're saying, I want to put you first, God, that we want to submit our hearts to you. And I want to thank you in advance for some of those, that this message today in this series is going to be life-changing and a launching point for a deeper relationship for you to transform us. And as we're continuing praying today, if you just have started to seek God and you recognize your massive need for him, and I'm going to ask you to begin to pray that prayer as well, to begin to have this intimate relationship with him. And others of you, you're here or you're watching online and you're not even a church person. You don't even like the word church. You don't like anything about it. You don't even like my shirt here today. And you're just saying, God, I don't know why I'm sitting here looking at a picnic table. Just talking. But God, right now you're just feeling this strange draw to the Lord. And you don't know why. You don't even know who he is as Lord. You're just feeling this. I'm going to tell you what that is. It's the Holy Spirit. The hound dog of heaven. Looking around. Searching around for you. Because he loves you. And he wants you. And you're feeling guilty about some of these things as he begins to search. But don't feel guilty. Because there is no condemnation for those who know Christ Jesus. He loved us so much that he came flesh in the person of his son. He hung out with messed up people like you and me. He died on a cross and rose again for you. So if you need his forgiveness and you need his grace, just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Jesus. Simply turn and say, I want to walk away from that life. So Heavenly Father, just repeat this in your mind or in your heart. Heavenly Father, today I give my life completely to you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new and fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can follow you all the days of my life. I surrender this mess of my life to you. My life is not my own. Today it's yours. As you search me, that you will lead me to the way everlasting. Thank you for my new life. Now you have mine. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's also, please feel free to come up and pray as we'll have several people up here available to pray with you.
music, just see you.
Bless the Lord.
Next week, I was just sitting there thinking, and I just felt like God wanted me to tell you this. Next week, we're going to talk about Break Me, right? Is going to be the prayer. And God just told me to tell you to fill this place with broken people. All right, so that's crazy. That's the reason why this place was called Haven originally, was for that. It was to be a safe place where people who were broken could come and heal and connect to Jesus. So I don't know fully what's going to happen, but fill this place with broken people. And he said, if you don't fill it with broken people, they'll remain broken and never fixed. And so there's your challenge. You don't have to look very hard. You'll find them walking out with you. You'll find them when you're going to Walmart. There's a lot of brokenness there. And you know what? If they're homeless and picking out of the trash because they have addiction, they're broken, bring them in. If they're people who have wronged you and you can't stand to look at them because of what went on, they're broken, bring them in. Got to get over ourselves to get to Jesus and quit deceiving ourselves. That's for all of us. I think we all got a name of somebody that we would not want to be sitting next to us in this church next week. That's exactly who Jesus wants here. All right? So, that's all I'm going to say. Have a good week.
Don't forget, if you can prayerfully consider donating to Compassion, people will be on the outside of the doors as you leave. Thank you very much.
He hit me with that sucker real quick, didn't he?